Yep.
Calling this conference committee to order. It's on Senate File 2866, the Statewide Trauma Systems Modifications and Repeal. Welcome. Hello, welcome. Thank you for coming. And we are about to have, I think I'll have, you'll be ready. Legislative aide, Amy, will go through the bill and highlight where there are differences in the House Counsel will be doing that for us. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair and members, there's really only one difference because I believe on the House floor, the House accepted the Senate language as it came to the House. So the bills are identical except on page R3 of your side-by-side. The House language has a paragraph G related to prohibiting the Commissioner of Health and trauma hospitals from collecting data related to lawful firearm ownership. And that's the only difference in the language.
Okay, thank you. I guess what we need to do then is hear about this difference from the House, and we'll be listening in terms of whether or not we think that's in keeping with the intent of the bill. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This language was added as a floor amendment, and the author of it did apologize on the floor for not sharing it with me or the Department of Health earlier, so we're kind of scrambling to react, and it really did catch me, by surprise, because my understanding of the trauma registry is to collect information about trauma care and how to do quality improvement. And so it's collecting information about, you know, who found the victim, who called 911, how fast did the ambulance get there, what did they do, what drugs did they administer, when did they make the decision to call the air ambulance. And none of that related to the cause of the wound or whether, I mean, it seemed to me an issue of law enforcement that doctors in busy emergency rooms wouldn't even think about as they're trying to deal with a person who is near death. And so that caught me by surprise, we might want to have the department, for the record, indicate that that's a clear understanding, because there has been some information that's been out that it may have inspired this. I'm not sure that I've gotten communications on that said that this was intended to be a backdoor gun registry and some things that it never was intended to do. And so I think there was some misunderstanding on the part of some people about what the purpose of this was, and that caused some anxiety. But the amendment did pass with a really strong vote on the House floor. So perhaps we could call the Department of Health to give us a little more information about their intents and their reaction to this language.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. I think I will ask the department to come and talk a little bit about whether or not the intent of this agency bill is to be a backdoor gun registry. That certainly would be important to speak to, as I have also received mailings from people who have claimed that this that's what the intent of this bill is. Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Jim Golden, the Director of Health Policy for the Department of Health. With regard to the question about the intent of the trauma registry, I think that it is most clearly expressed on subdivision 1 of the registry, which is on page R2 and identical in both bills. The purpose of the trauma registry on line 3.13 3.12, I'm sorry, is that the registry shall collect information to facilitate the development of clinical and system quality improvement, injury prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation programs. So really, this is an effort to collect data to make sure that we are able to develop our trauma system so that when people have major traumas, we are able to give them the best possible care and help put them on a path for rehabilitation and to be able to become fully functioning again. There is nothing about this bill that was intended to collect information about firearm ownership, nor concealed carry or permit information. That is not information that is collected today by the State Trauma Registry. It is not something that we need in order to perform the functions and statutory responsibilities that the legislature has assigned to us, and we have no intention of collecting it now, nor do we foresee any reason whatsoever to collect it into the future.
Oh, thank you. Are there other questions about the bill that, as long as the department is here, that we should have asked Representative Abel?
My comments are to this section.
To the difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like difference language,
do that
yes.
An hour later. I have no questions.
Do you have questions? No questions.
I'm a co-author on the main part of the bill.
Okay. I think that we'll have you come back later if there are more questions, if you don't mind. On the main part of the bid, Representative Abel.
No, to the exception, to the difference.
To the difference.
So, well, let me help you understand why those who brought the amendment forward would do such a thing. The whole topic about the concealed carry and the whole topic is as inflammatory as any other topic that we have here. And the sides are pretty clear on it, and they're one side can't imagine why this side is concerned. This side doesn't know why the one doesn't care. And so there's not a lot of middle ground if anybody's trying to work in this arena, it's as challenging as the abortion discussion, trying to find the middle ground. And so as those who like the freedom to have their own concealed carry, et cetera, that whole dialogue comes into this point as they read certain words in the bill. On page R3, actually, if you go back to R2, if you're thinking about, some people who don't like the concealed carry wish it didn't exist, and that fight remains. And so as you're a person who enjoys their freedom to have a concealed permit, they look at the term on line 3.13, injury prevention, as a possible door. They look at on page R3, line 319, demographic information. They look at line 320, cause, and then they look at line 325, which is the big gaping opportunity, which is other information required by the commissioner, and they get concerned. And so in an effort, knowing Representative Holberg, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to make sure I thought I missed something that you said. You mentioned on 3.19 the demographic information and then went to 3.25. Was there another one in between?
Oh, 3.20. I just was looking at the cause.
Cause, okay.
And, you know, and so on. And so you could kind of see that, anyway, a person who was not a fan of the concealed thing would, this could be construed, at least in their mind, as being something that, oh, they could take this and use it against us. And whereas the department, I think, has a pure intent in this, and I trust them at their word, but out of that concern evolves the amendment that you see, which the department would say, really, we're not doing it anyway, so it's a moot point. And then the people that bring the amendment forward say, well, if it's a moot, then just assure us with a word that it's not ever going to be an issue. Well, we all agree. And that's the origin of the amendment. And so, whereas I don't think any of the authors, including me, thought this would become a bill about, you know, information about guns, it has now become that. And so I think it'd be in the interest of the committee to acknowledge that concern. And I think it'd address it in a constructive way. And I have a suggestion about how you might do that.
Okay, good. Let me just, for a clarifying question, because you're highlighting what might be creating some worry, I'll use the word worry.
Yes.
If I'm an injured with a gunshot wound, the department would like to be able to record that I was injured with a gun. My injury was a gunshot wound. Someone shot me. I don't think the person who shot me is the person. This is the injured party that is going to be described, and not the shooter of the weapon. Unless, of course, it's a suicide, I suppose, in that case. You might mention the fact that the gun was, that it was a suicide.
Right. And I'm not disagreeing with you about that. And that's probably appropriate. I mean, you want to record that it was a gunshot with a small caliber weapon, you know, appeared to be such a gun, or here's the gun, you know, something. I think nobody minds about that, but just to help you understand the thinking of the people that bring this forward, which...
I don't think you can help me understand
the thinking of the people. But I think you have to acknowledge that they think that way. And so...
Erickson-Rose has a question, too.
All right, fine.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. I think Madam Chair brings up a really good point. If the concern is about the person who has a concealed weapon and they don't want to be giving a lot of the information about the carrier... protecting privacy rights. Unless that person is also the victim of a gunshot wound, I mean, they wouldn't be even targeting or infringing any privacy rights because the victim is going to be on the table with the gunshot wounds and we're taking care of that person. If there were another trauma accident, car accident, let's say, somebody gets wheeled in, has a gun, and they have a concealed carry, then I don't know how that would even apply to this. I don't know how they would be worried that all of a sudden the ER personnel is going to be, as they're taking their tangled and bloody clothes off, they find a weapon that all of a sudden they're going to be trying to collect additional information related to one of the items that happens to be in their purse and not related to their auto accident injury. So I just don't even see how that might happen.
Yeah, let's just take this fairly bizarre scenario in which somebody is in the emergency room and has a concealed weapon on them and they've been injured. What this says is that I may not, if this goes on, they're worried about that, I might ask that person, do you have a license to carry a concealed weapon? And this is prohibiting me, this would be clear language that says that I cannot ask that question or collect that data as a trauma hospital or as the commissioner. But I want to go to the other side of that and say, this is a negative. I may not ask this, but there would have to be an action to allow me to ask that question. Wouldn't there have to be some kind of law or initiative law that would cause me to ask that question and collect that data? I mean, there's no system in place that requests that or requires that or asks for or consumes that or makes that data useful or useful.
Senator, it could be the policy of the hospital that you can't have guns in the hospital. So you may, as the ER nurse, say, oh, do you have a weapon? And then you have to dispose of that properly. I'm sure the hospital has a policy of how to handle weapons that come in through the ER.
But there's no system in place for collection of data around that or gathering
right.
of information.
Beyond
that
initial question.
I mean, there's
question.
No mm-hmm. directive to collect the data. That's the reverse of what's being... This prohibits collection of data, but there's no trigger to do it, so that's what creates...
Good use of word, Madam. But, Madam Chair, just to... I don't intend to attempt to persuade you to understand, to accept the thought patterns that lead a person to believe as they do about guns. I think that our positions on that topic are very well clear on multiple votes and multiple experiences in our lives. And once people get to a position, they kind of stay there. And so I'm not trying to persuade anybody of this.
Let me make you clear that it's not the thought process about the right of people to have guns or the privacy that they have around that. I don't have any trouble with that belief system. The part that I can't get to is the connecting that somehow, that worry, in the, with the proper worry in proper situations to this situation. So
let me help you then. And it matters especially to the success of this conference committee and the language you want to get to become law, that you accept that the people do have concerns. And the most obvious one would be subparagraph 6, or section 6 that says other information, which includes anything else that can be thought of. And I don't think that people mind that. That's on R3, paragraph, line 3.25. And so that is a, are you through with me?
It's open door.
Yeah.
Yes, is it Representative Loffler? Sorry.
To that point, though, yes, it does authorize the collection of other information as required by the commissioner, but there's rulemaking authority, so it has to be done in a public process. It has to do with advice from the Trauma Registration Advisory Committee, and if you'll note on lines 4.4, subdivision 6, the data that they gather is private data, non-public. I mean, it's clearly not, you know, data that's going to be available to the public. But it is related to the purposes that have been outlined and the recommendations of the Trauma Advisory Council. So there's a whole bunch of steps that collecting any additional information would have to go through in a very public and transparent way, and it would have to relate to the purposes of this law. So I don't think that that's a concern. The reason I had pursued with the Department of Health the concept of whether we could limit or more clearly define the information that they would collect, you know, prospectively rather than saying you can't collect this or that, and, you know, explored with them what additional information they might anticipate. And, you know, we're learning so much in medical care and life-saving techniques that there may be a new way to, say, wrap someone in, you know, ice packs that makes a big difference, or something else that will learn is a magic drug that if you inject at a time of massive blooding tends to improve the clotting factor, or there may be something else that they'd want to gather information on that just hasn't even been invented yet, but might be critical in terms of seeing how well and how fast our trauma system is adopting the best learnings of medical science. And so that's why they wanted to have some flexibility in the future for the Trauma Advisory Council to look at these things, see how they might impact trauma care, and then add that to information to be routinely collected. And so they really wanted to maintain that flexibility rather than having to come in to and get us to approve a new law every time there's an advance in treating people who have dramatic injuries.
You know, one of the in looking at the issues about this language under on page R3, subdivision 3, registry information, which is where you targeted, I wondered, and I have language here for an amendment to offer, but before offering it, I'd just like to discuss it with you. Is if we change that other information required by the commission, which is broad, very broad, and it could create a lot of anxiety, that would better refine that to focus it on the injured person, mm-hmm. and further restrict it to say, if necessary, to facilitate the development of clinical and system quality improvement of treatment and rehabilitation programs. Maybe we should pass this out so people can at least see what I'm talking about here. We have it written in
front of you. Madam Chair.
You go ahead.
And I think you're on the right track. That was one of my two solutions. One is the department put this language somewhere else that it worked better. Mm-hmm. if you never intend it, then it's just a throwaway to put it in. But the other choice is to limit to list what it is that you're going to get.
And, kind of information.
And focus it on all medical information. Mm-hmm. Just to remind you, just to my final thought about building my base of concerns from the folks here. They are, do not want a national gun registry, private or otherwise, or non-public. I mean, non-public means the government has it. And you get into that whole line of thinking about that. And you didn't even know you're going into this part, which is part of the trauma that we're, see, it's kind of I appreciate where you're going with that. I think that's a productive direction to go.
You can see the language there. The only thing that isn't in here is that it's, if it's focused on the injured person, I don't know if that.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is there an adjective that council might recommend that we insert before information? Because when you say other information, as Representative Abler is talking about, that could, it's wide open to any kind of other information. If we want to put trauma-related information or patient trauma, or I mean some kind of adjective there that would narrow the scope of the information being collected. So I think what the gun advocates are concerned about is that we're somehow going to get to tracking them because they came in with a concealed gun or something. And so that's not, if it's not related to their injury, you know, there shouldn't be.
Why don't we take this one at a time? If you want to amend the amendment, maybe we can do that. But, you know, why don't I offer this as an amendment to the language so that on R3 Senate language S2866-2, page 3, line 25, before the period insert, if necessary to facilitate the development of clinical and system quality improvement, treatment, and rehabilitation. And if I want to highlight the fact that I removed the language that Representative Abler said was kind of a red flag language about, sorry, my memory, we were up late last night, about injury prevention. That's gone, which is in the first descriptor of what the purpose of the bill is. So I'll offer that as a motion to amend the language.
Madam Chair, I think that it honors the intent, I think, of what this was and will give some comfort to some people. I'd say that I'd be glad to hear from the department if they had any suggestions related to this. But I think this does clarify the broader. Yeah.
I'd be happy to hear from the department, and if there's anyone else here that has the concerns that we're talking about related to data collection as it relates to gun registration or conceal, I'd be happy to hear from them as well. Do you have time to?
Madam Chair, committee members, 2 points. With regard to the amendment does not in any way adversely impact the department's operational activities. We can do everything that we hope to be able to do, both with regard to the trauma system as well as the connection to rehabilitation with the language of Senator Sharon's amendment. So from our standpoint, there's no problems whatsoever with the language from that standpoint.
Thank you. That was the question. Is there another question for the?
They said you had 2 things.
The only other comment I would have is I think operationally we have no problem with this. I think operationally, I do feel obligated just to tell the committee that the governor's office is supportive of the House position on this bill, and we have offered technical support in an effort to clean up some issues that are there. But because we don't have a need for the gun information, while we think this language is perfectly fine, I do think that the governor's office is supportive of the House position, and we just wanted to make sure that the committee was aware of that.
Thank you. Representative Rudin.
I do have some questions for Dr. Golden, but it's not particular to the amendment. Would you rather that I waited?
Can I ask a question about the amendment, then we can
go ahead.
For the department?
Well, just to the topic of this.
Okay.
And I should just, you know, it's the governor part is interesting, and I'm frankly tiring of that phrase, but even though it's an important one to recognize, but it's a true part about many of the negotiations we're going to be entered into. But on this one, there's another element you have to know that probably either is a higher power than that, and that this has become a national interest bill. And the emails you've gotten have been from that thing. And so I'm here to find a way to get the bill passed. And so with that in mind...
That's what we're all here about.
Yeah, and so I don't think we can wrap that bill up this morning, but it's my intention to find a way to, as a co-author of the bill, and the person who understands that other topic.
Okay, but let's have a question for the department.
Well, but I mean, just let me finish this.
I'm just trying to make sure that I think everybody understands our position. We need to move forward in terms of determining whether we're going to do the amendment.
Yeah, but please hear me through. I know the people who have the concerns on the floor of the House, and I think as I help to broker this with them to help, I personally think this is not a bad way to do it. And if they can get satisfied that this idea with language resembling this or this very sentence gets you there, I think it's nice to keep this specific to the topic. You may not have to use these words to allay the concerns by being more specific in what you do. And so I think I'm in a position to help you with that.
That's
and
great.
So that way it stays a health bill.
I would simply add to what you're saying, Representative Abler, that the governor would have difficulty without being here to say whether or not he supports an alternative to the one that he said he supported. I mean, he simply took a look at a piece of a recommended solution to dealing with the concerns, and he isn't here to take a look at the listen to the conversation or the process that we go through to even improve the suggestion that the department made about how we change the language. So I appreciate that the governor has weighed in on a specific bit of language. I think that our concern is the concerns of the people about how this data is used, and that if we can find a way to be responsive to that, but not necessarily the specific suggestion that the department has gone through, that we achieve that objectives, which is what you're saying as well. Okay, great. Thank you. I will have you come back if there are questions later, but I just want to make sure, is there anybody else here that is representing the group who has concerns about how this language is going to be used in terms of guns that would like to speak to this amendment and whether or not it addresses their concerns? Because we want this hearing to be open so that we hear. Well, that's interesting to me. Why there would not be anyone here? Are they aware of the meeting or...
I've not had any direct contact.
Does anybody know?
It's posted.
But, Madam Chair, I wouldn't take their absence as being any sign of disinterest.
No, I don't think so, but it's a sign that we can't work the problem out, you know, so.
Madam Chair.
Yes, did you want to approach?
Hi, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Alexander David, and I'm with Citizens for Safer Minnesota. And we were originally very concerned about this language. We didn't know what would happen if there was a child who had committed suicide or something, and if they couldn't collect data on the gun or whose gun it was, if something in that type of scenario were to happen. But I do believe that we are okay with this amendment that has been offered, and I think that alleviates all of our concerns.
Any questions? Tell me again what group you're with.
Citizens for a Safer Minnesota. We work for protecting Minnesotans from expansion of gun laws. So,
I see. Okay.
So, I mean, Madam Chair, so you'd be the other side of the coin.
Yeah. Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Just that. The Million Woman, Million Mom March, is that part of it?
Excuse me.
Exactly.
Yes, but I want to make sure that you understand there isn't anything in this language that would allow the collection of information.
Right.
It's further defining and narrowing the by clarifying the purpose for which if there's a decision about expanding beyond what the list is here, what information would be gathered. It has to be related to those components.
Right. So we're no longer concerned with the language. We just wanted to voice our concerns with.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Representative
Loeffler. I can just say that in following up after the amendment was adopted and working with Representative Mary Liz Holbrook, who was the author of the amendment, she was supportive of trying to find a way to more, because her initial concerns were just about the broader other information or data can be collected, and she was supportive of the idea of trying to narrow that and make it more specific. Whether that would fully satisfy her interest at this particular point in time, I cannot speak to, because I think other concerns have been raised and forces. But I think, you know, she definitely was had voiced concerns earlier as the bill was going through, and then when in proposing the amendment about the other language. So I think addressing adopting your amendment, I think would be a good step forward.
Any other questions?
Yes.
So I was just asking if there were any other questions. Thank you.
You're relieved of that. And so there isn't anybody here that can speak to the. Okay. Senator Erickson Ropes, did you have another comment?
I was ready to move the amendment, unless you want to do that.
Nope. I'd be happy to have you move the amendment.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Are you hoping to wrap this up by 11?
I'd like to.
I would suggest you do not.
We've got an amendment on the table, then we can come back to that. Okay.
Well, I'm speaking against the amendment, though.
Okay.
At this time. And I think if this, I believe there's no reason to rush. We have a full week yet. The second meeting of this committee could be yet today. With an amendment that we would know would pass muster with everybody who cares, which I think actually this language goes further to address the concerns from both sides of the coin, which I think is a healthy way to do our work here. And so since this bill has evolved to become such a bill as it was never intended to be, I think it's to make sure that it gets all the way through to a signature without any objection, it would be worth a few hours of me shopping around and Representative Loeffler or whoever else would like to chat. There's at least two people I would talk to, in addition to the department, who would hopefully connect with the governor to see if this was a language that they would find acceptable. And I believe that the objections arose in the House with people whom I know very well. And I know from whence those objections come. And I think Representative Loeffler and I could do our business, and we could reconvene, you know, in 6 hours or something, and have a 5-minute meeting, adopt an amendment, and be on our way. And
Be done. Representative Loeffler, do you want to speak to that, please? I appreciate hearing
from
you. Well,
I think that since we're in the midst of an amendment, I think we should adopt the amendment, and then we can talk about next steps. Because I do support this, I think it does address some concerns that were raised as it went along, and the department said it doesn't. It clarifies and doesn't interfere with the intended purpose here. So I think I'd like to at least adopt this first, and we can go to further discussion.
Okay, further discussion on the amendment. Yes, Senator Erickson-Ropes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Representative Abler's concern, I think what we need to do is the work of the committee, and that would be tuning this up and doing the work that we need to do, adopt that, and then have us go out, check with people. I think the idea of, you know, maybe taking a break between coming back, but then at least we have a product to say, here's where we are, here's the exact language you're working on, what do you think, you want to change this one word, add another one, then at least we have something to show instead of just concepts that aren't on paper yet.
Madam Chair. And actually, I read the amendment. It's this actually, you're amending the Senate language, which is always allowed in protocol. And I'm not trying to speak against the amendment per se. I'm just hoping I don't wrap up the whole bill so quick that we scurry out of here. Now we have a conference report. What do you think? So I would be in favor of the amendment as the Senate moving toward a resolution. I think that's a great idea.
So we have a motion. Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, it passes. Chair?
Yes. I would like to get back to that same line that we just amended and further focus and restrict the information that other parties might be concerned about. Because it does say other information, although you've helped clarify about that information now. this is what a is that a prepositional clause that refers back to the information?
Oh, yeah.
But I would still like to further identify the information as related to, and again, maybe this is where we can get guidance from counsel, whether between other and information on line 3.25, we should add trauma-related or patient information.
I've been thinking about that. Excuse me. I've been thinking about that since you said it before. I let it process a little bit. The information needs to be more than about the person, though. It needs to be about the system. And because this is about systems improvements, at least I think I understand. I would like the department to speak to that issue if you can.
Well, and Madam Chair, just reflecting or restating exactly what's in your prepositional clause at the end, maybe we should say clinical and system quality information required by the governor to facilitate the development of systems and quality improvement treatment and so on.
Commissioner.
Representative Abler?
Oh, no, she has said governor. She meant commissioner.
Oh.
Is this the funny
he's on my mind.
It's a Freudian thing.
Coach, again, I'd like to ask you a question.
There's lots of
jokes. I don't know if you want to, but would you please come? You have questions often? Okay.
I think that helps.
My question is, if we add in sentence 3.25 on page R3, other information necessary to facilitate the development of clinical and systems quality improvement required by the commissioner, if necessary, would that create a problem for the department in terms of achieving the overall goals and objectives of this trauma registry?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure I understand the question in relation to the amendment that you just adopted. If I understand correctly, Madam Chair, didn't you take item 6 on line 325 and after the word commissioner insert the language of the last amendment?
Yes, we did.
And
now,
so can you help me understand your question then?
So now what Senator Erickson-Robes is asking is whether we need to further improve this sentence by saying after information.
No, before information.
Or before. Yeah, no. Other information.
Other blank information.
Other
it would be
other clinical and system quality improvement information. Other clinical and system quality improvement information. You're following me?
Yes,
now?
Okay. Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I don't think that there would be any problem with adding that specific language to this. As Representative Loeffler had pointed out previously, if this language were to be used, it would require us to the Department of Health to use a rulemaking process that would require an open public hearing. It would also require the Department of Health to create a statement of need and reasonableness. Any statement of need and reasonableness needs to tie the information that is collected to demonstrate that it is needed for the purposes that are outlined in the statute, as well as a second test that it is reasonable in order to do that. I think with regard to the amendment that you had in the words that you just asked, I'm not sure that at a very practical level there is much difference, but from a standpoint, if it provides people comfort, I'm not really sure that there's we think there would be no harm in adding clinical and system information to the first part after the word other.
Thank you. Representative Loeffler, then Representative Rube.
Well, it just feels to me like with that, with the amendment we just adopted, it's pretty long and awkward. I mean, if there's an interest in further narrowing this, I think the original suggestion, I think it might have been from you, Senator Erickson-Robes, was the other trauma-related. You know, that's a much broader, encompassing thing, and it doesn't repeat the language at the end of that sentence now. I don't know if it adds a lot, you know, a lot of comfort, but it does say it's related to the trauma and not to, you know, the not related to a criminal investigation. It's related to the trauma situation, and maybe that, you know, if that adds some comfort to, I don't have any problem with that. But I just think a shorter phrase would make it read better.
You know, there's pressure on this room, everybody. There's apparently some press conference or something that's going to occur in here. Have to adjourn within the next few minutes. So just keep that in mind, that we'll have to probably recess and come back together again, which will offer an opportunity for all of us to take this out and see. Remember, we're trying to accommodate, the Senate is trying to accommodate to something here without losing what we need to defend, which is the Senate's position that doesn't include this language and doesn't confuse this bill with gun legislation or criminal activity. So this is an offer that we're making in order to try to accommodate to that.
Madam Chair, to Dr. Golden, what's your opinion on an adjective between other and information? If we would say trauma information, would that provide the scope that you need to, but still narrow it to trauma information, not gun ownership information?
Madam Chair and Senator Erickson Ropes, I think of the language that has been discussed, I think our preference would be for Representative Loeffler's of trauma-related. I think it makes the sentence read slightly better, and it is very clear.
Okay. All right. Is that a motion?
Yes.
That's been moved. Is there a second? And I don't think I seconded my amendment.
We don't need a second motion.
So any further discussion? Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this?
Madam Chair, so the whole sentence just reads, other trauma-related information required by the commissioner with plus all the Senate.
If necessary to the facilitator. Okay. Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We are going to recess, and we'll come back. We'll need to get a room and define.
Just to the call of the chair, then, right?
To the call of the chair.
Today, if possible.
Today, if possible. We're all lined up. And I'd just like to say, Representative Ehler, in terms of time, for us, at least in the Senate, there isn't, we're asked to have these things completed by all of our conference committees completed by Sunday night, so we don't have a lot of of breathing room here. So I'd like to
be here tomorrow, too. I mean, it's that there's, I'm not going to attempt to delay this. I'm going to, I think Senator Lipson, Loeffler, and I will go talk to her and call these.
Great. We'll call you back later.
Hopefully, the next meeting will be very short.
Are you going on the floor today sometime?
Yes, we're going at
noon. Where we are.
Noon. Is it possible for you to come off of the floor?
Here,
if we,
especially if it's there's an agreement, it's going to be
long bill like education or something.
So we'll talk in between then. see what we need to do.
That sounds good.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
But they didn't do Ways and Means.
Oh, that's right. We can't do it.
We're to an education.
Committee's recessed.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, that'll be long.
The following chair.